This week's Parsha, Parsha Truma, Moshe receives directions to create something which is called a Mishkan. Materials are collected, instructions are given. The very idea of creating something which is holy, making holy space, is interesting. It's something which perhaps mankind had never considered before, that holiness is something which can be created on this earth. After the experience at Sinai, we understand, where the Jews had experienced in mass this incredible revelation of God, now there's going to be a place that God will become, quote-unquote, accessible. God tells them essentially, if you build it, I will come. Vasuli mikdash v'shachanti b'tocham. One of the first things that we're told about is to build the Aron, and there's a very functional reason for the Aron. The Aron is an ark. When Moshe is going to come down from the mountain with the tablets of stone in hand, there's a really simple problem. What do you do with those tablets? Where do you put them? They're holy. So it seems now to be that there's a logical aftermath or continuation of the revelation at Sinai. God speaks at Sinai. Moshe is invited up the mountain. On the top of the mountain, Moshe is going to be given these tablets of stone. And now he comes down. What do you do with them? The answer is, you build a Mishkan and you place them in the ark within the Mishkan. And everything to this point we understand. We're then told that on top of this ark, they're to build something, two of them, which are called kruvim. In English would be cherubs. Made of gold of one piece, these two angelic, childlike images will be staring at one another on top of this ark. Now, the very idea of creating something of human form, it seems to be counter to ideas that we heard immediately after the Ten Commandments. We're not to make graven images. That's one of the Ten Commandments. We're not to make images which somehow, in some way, represent something which is holy or the divine. But nonetheless, kruvim seem to be the exception. This is not the first time that the kruvim or cherubs are to be found in the Torah. The first time we find them is right after Adam and Eve are exiled, chased away from the Garden of Eden. And there two cherubs are put to guard the path to the Garden of Eden. And it would seem to be that there's a connection between these two kruvim, the kruvim and the Garden of Eden, and the kruvim now, to be built for the Mishkan and later for the Beit HaMikdash. The cherubs or the kruvim, the way that they're described in the various sources, are male and female, naked and angelic. We could understand how it would be very easy to misunderstand what they represent. The Talmud tells us in a passage that when the temple was destroyed, the pagans entered into the Holy of Holies and they saw the kruvim, they were shocked. The Jews, who under normal circumstances, don't worship any kind of graven image, and there they find, in the Holy of Holies, the graven image. They find the kruvim. And they dragged them outside, and the language which is used in the Talmud is they cheapened it. It's a verse from Eicha. All the things which are holy became cheapened. Hiziluha. In a sense, we need to understand this. Because it seems to be that the kruvim could easily have been misunderstood. But let's go back to the connection that we saw the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve lost their innocence, and they're chased out of the Garden of Eden, it would seem to be that in their place are the kruvim. Which means the kruvim, which are naked, innocent-looking, actually represent Adam and Eve before the sin. Which means when the Kohen Gadol Aaron will enter into the Holy of Holies, he's going to see an image of something not which is divine in the sense that it represents God, quite the opposite. It represents the divine image in man. It represents Adam and Eve before the sin. It represents man at their apex, which means Adam and Eve are replaced by the kruvim, because the kruvim represent Adam and Eve, who themselves became jaded, they were changed, and they lost somewhat of their spark. So part of the tshuva process, part of the process of healing ourselves, is that we need a representation of what we can really be. This representation is easily misunderstood, and therefore it's put away inside the Holy of Holies. Only the Kohen Gadol on the holiest day of the year would go inside and take a look, and there he would see the potential of man. Coming outside, he and the other Kohanim would teach the people, teach them about what we could be, teach them what we should be, inspired by what we were.